social system, Varnashram is the system. There's no superior system. But because it's a system for humans, that's where the rubber is. Most people nowadays aren't coming from a human background. Therefore, without them, what are they going to do? At the same time, as Varnashram can only be followed by a human. That's why without devotional service, you can't follow the Varnashram. There are some who are pious enough, they'll be born as humans. Shudras, nonetheless, but humans. But most, you find, are born, they're subhumans. Means in this age, you're not going to be able to follow Varnashram without basically devotional service. Or having previously followed it on the human platform, and there's some residue that left in this life. So they may be following some aspects of Varnashram, but its actual purpose is in recognition. You go into Hindu families, and you'll find some Hindu families who are human and who still follow the mothers, still take care of the kids, they're respecting the mothers, and there's interaction in that. But that's pretty much just like what you see now. You can be happy that you saw it. Yeah, but you can write it in your book, and in a few years it's gone. There'll be still a few people here and there, but in millions and millions of people, Hindus following it, that's a thing of the past. When you see the 40-year-old Hindu mother in blue jeans, you know it's gone. You know what I'm saying? They don't know how to cook. They don't know. What do they know? Any Hindu girls know. They have a degree in accountancy or this or that or law. Or that. They wouldn't know how to boil water without butter. Right? And now it's like this. You have the senses have to be pleased, right? They're conditioned. Now, eating is something you have to do. Making is something you don't necessarily have to do. Okay. Now, if you eat something really mediocre, at some point you want something more out of the senses. Where are you going to get it? In the contemporary environment. Understand? It means sense. It's the only thing that would give a very strong, intense experience, because where are the relationships? That the mother has cooked this for the child, or for the husband, or for that. And that's the taste of the food, is that she's cooked it for you. Therefore, it's so excellently cooked. Not that she's an expert cook, she's an expert cook, but she wants to please the other members of the family. So, therefore, instead of getting a very high level of intense sensual experience by nice cooking in the family, by the mother, or by the wife, or by the daughter, then the man gets it for sex. And sex gets old real fast. Because you can get more variety out of cooking than you can out of sex. You know what I'm saying? You can take a potato and, a thousand preparations. You can't get a thousand things to do with sex. So they get real old fast. And what they do is they figure changing partners is where you create variety. Right? So now this modern girl, great. But how is she going to hold this family? She can't cook. And how long can a girl go on putting on a show of great ecstasy and sex that keeps the man interested? After a while, it gets pretty boring. Right? So unless she's taking it, there's something serious here, and even that's only a movie. Right? In real life, girls who are that much into it, after a while, just go, this is terrible. But because men are into it, they have to have men, therefore they go along with it. But it doesn't have any meaning other than the intimacy or the need, but actual as far as the senses. You know what I'm saying? So so therefore you create this whole artificial thing, just taking one thing, just cooking. Let alone cleaning and knowing how to create a septic environment. Let alone being satisfied, other things they know how to create, family interaction, all these different things they don't know. Mother knows, and she doesn't want her daughter to be, because that's considered low grade. But the mother is in such illusion, she thinks everything's going to go on. She may get some of it, because by association, the daughter will have picked up some unconscious elements, so she will, but the grandchildren aren't going to pick up much at all. And there's a good chance that that grandmother is going to end up in a old age home. Then she'll understand. Very good chance. I would take it, a lot of these young Hindus in nuclear families, they're not going to. They're not going to, you know, keep their mother and father. Why would they? They're going to, they want to listen to them and talk all day about, you know, people who do this and do that. And at the same time, as if they're not worried about Hindu this, Hindu that, who wants an old fuddy-duddy around who can't do anything when you're having a party with him? You know what I'm saying? Even if they do completely modernize, you know, people don't have a party with their parents. Westerners don't. Even if they're out, the parents go to their own party. You know what I'm saying? So even from you take that, they're missing the point. See, they're thinking they're going to taste all the Western things that people do alone, not with their parents, as a family. You know, so in the beginning it comes out to be a little bit, but after a while it doesn't. So these are things that the Hindus are missing. So you do find some humans, but it is going there. So the whole point is without knowledge of what's going on, without connecting with Krishna, then it's not Daiva Varnashram. If it's not Daiva Varnashram, we're not interested. We're only interested in Daiva Varnashram. Varnashram on its own, for the purpose of Varnashram, has no interest. Of course it's pious, it gives less trouble on certain levels, but on other levels it gives more. Like you take Nepal. In Nepal, it's a Hindu country, there's a Hindu king, and they have Hindu ministers who are smart ones, who don't like devotees, the Shiva worshippers. So therefore, we've been in Nepal for, you know, 30 years preaching. Our society is still not registered, because the smart Brahmins won't allow it to be registered. So sometimes, you know, non-devotional Vedic culture can go against the principles of, you know, like you have a Shaivite king. He's following Varnashram, but he's established that no one can worship Vishnu in his kingdom. What's the use? And it's the other way around, like Vishnupur. North Bengal, you had the king was converted to a devotee by Sri Vakacharya. He made a decree that everybody in his kingdom has to be Gaudiya Vaishnava. If not, you can leave. So everybody who all the smart was left. So it was only, so then there, devotionally, it's helping. But if it's just Varnashram without devotional service, it's useless.
So when you talk about
basically, but you have to know the science. Like we say, we're going to institute, you know, motherhood. It means it's inherent there, just that people have to know how to operate. Prabhupada already established it, he's given all the directions, you just have to know how to operate. But if you don't know what it is, how do you, like if, okay, you're a woman, now you have to interact with other people. Unless you know what a woman is, one, how you will be satisfied yourself, how you interact with other women. You can't know what a woman is, how you know what a man is. And therefore, then if you don't know the science of what is male and what is female, how is it socially going to work? You can't work. Because it's based on male-female principles. You can't get away from it. Everything is that male-female. Maybe directly as far as sexual or indirectly. Like you have parent-child. The parent is the masculine, the child is the feminine. Or the masculine servant. You know what I'm saying? You always have that point. Somebody's somebody is the shelter of a particular rasa, they act in a way to bring it out to the other person. You're in a funny mood. Your friend comes along. You start to joke with him. Then you're taking the feminine role, and they then take the masculine, and that they'll respond to your laughter. Then from that, they may take it again and again and take it farther. You know? They may take it farther. You know what I'm saying? But in any case, it's going to go by this is confidence. See? That lady is wearing a petticoat. That's what it is. It's a petticoat. But because you use cloth other than what a petticoat is made out of, it's called a dress. But because you wear your petticoat with confidence, then people who are wearing saris look at it and think, wow, maybe I should be wearing that. Right? So in other words, if you wear your clothes with confidence, that this is what I'm supposed to be wearing, then it's fine. That's the whole point. Whoever's the most confident is who wins. Think about it. When you get together and there's some little nipping on, you know, about who's wearing what, if the person who doesn't give in, wins. Maybe they didn't win the battle, but they won the war. You know, the person got in the last word that criticized their dress, but when they walk away, that person is still wearing that dress, and the other person who criticized will go out and buy it. Like that.
We mentioned in class a couple of Sundays ago when you're kind of satisfied with yourself, you feel confident, you know, no one can attack you.
Yeah.
You're in that position, right? I'm confident. So, you know, you're in a strong position, and I can go in every.
If you do that, point is if you're not comfortable with yourself, how will anyone else be? That's the point. Because that's how rasa works. You are an ashray to others as isha. It's what is your mood is what you're going to draw from them. So either it will be you're not confident, so you'll draw from someone else lack of confidence, and then you'll sit there commiserating each other. Or you're going to be unconfident, you're going to draw from them overconfident. You know, and then that will make you feel less confident. You know. But you're going to draw something. So it's just the science. That's what we're saying. It's a whole science. It's a whole, you know, social science. It's a whole psychology of how it functions. Devotees aren't picking up on that. Many are, but I'm just saying this is very generic, that in general they're not picking up on it. So they think a varnashram is some kind of rules and regulations of just management or economics. It's not. Varnashram is the science of social interaction. To interact, you have to have money, you have to have a census, you have to have a form, you have to have attachment, all that has to be there. But the point is the purpose of it is to establish relationship. There's no other reason for it. There's absolutely no other reason for it. That makes sense? So those who know it, that's what they're getting from it. Economics, all those aside things. Many follow it just because they know it's more pious, and if you do that, you get more money. The pious business persons many times follow because of that. But at the same time, as they know, this is where the relationships are. The point is that's where mundane relationship is. So interesting point will be just like this. The grihastha will come forward and say, why do we need varnashram? Why can't we just deal on devotional service? Marriage is not part of devotional service. You ever heard of it as one of the nine principles of devotional service? Shravanam, kirtanam, vivaha, smaranam, adhisevanam. You know? You understand? So that's the point. The only place where marriage has a foundation is in varnashram. Because that means varnashram is religion. Even Western marriages are based on religion. Now they've separated it. But even then, though, keep it within morality. When you go to the notary public for your 5-minute marriage, you know, whatever you like, you can, or whatever you have done, the first thing they will do is lecture you about the importance of fidelity and morality and all that. Because it's understood there must be some kind of religion. But it's actually part of religion. Religion means for us. So that's what is always amusing. I didn't mention that in the beginning because you didn't say anything with an attitude. If you had, you would have got that stuff done right in the beginning.
Yeah.
But since it wasn't, then we took this and now it's pointed out is that the point is, and why do we have, this is why is there a temple president? It's obvious that the person who could manage is the one that would get it done. But for the conditioned soul, because position and control is so important, you have to say, this person's the president and everybody else has got to follow him. In a society of permanence, it's from him. It's based on relationship. Radharani is the head because of relationship, not that she's the name, you know, okay, she's, you know, in this position. She takes that position because of, so you can either formalize it or not. Handy just whenever that kind of need is there, that person does. And it's constantly just do it. It's automatically understood. But it's just like you say, yeah, does that make some sense? You have to formalize it. Like in Japanese martial arts, you have the belt system. You start a white belt and ends up in some color, black man, some color, right? But in China, they don't do it like that. It has nothing to do with the belt system. You just come in, and when you know the science, you know it. So you're either a master or you're studying to become one. But you will see in the West, the prominent thing is always the Japanese. Even those who are from Chinese schools adopt it, just so it's understandable by the Westerners. Who are in this thing. But otherwise for them it's automatic. Just like in Chinese homes, there's many things that are not, you don't have to define, at least that's what I've seen. Like who cooks? It's whoever would be the most efficient to do it. Because both husband and wife can cook equally well. It's not considered feminine or a lack of masculinity to cook. The husband comes home first from work, he cooks. The wife comes home, she cooks. You know, this is some big festival because the men can deal with the bigger thing and get less anxiety, they cook and the women assist. You know, so it's just, it's there. They can wear the same clothes and they don't, it's not a trip, it's not some unisex trip. It doesn't matter. The women can be top martial artists, they could kill you in a second, but they'll still be feminine. The movements are still feminine. When a martial artist moves in martial arts, she's feminine, it's still feminine. Because there's no need, there's no need that there's that. It's just so you don't have to define it. Who holds the baby? It's whoever would hold it. You have to feed the baby, the man can't do that, so the wife holds it. But they're in the elevator, and she's got to get something out of it, the man holds it. It doesn't matter. Completely different concept. But in Wu, the man's a man, the woman's a woman. And it was very, very subtle. Many times you tell the difference between the, you know, the Oriental man and the Oriental woman. It's very subtle. Too subtle for the Westerners. But it's there. So these kind of things are the science, if it's known, it can function. Because they know what's masculine, feminine, principle. And because of that, it's not a problem. So that's the thing. Men know what they're doing, what they are, women know what they are. And then the duties, then it's whatever's back. And it's not scientifically done like that. It's just what Frank works. If you go back maybe before all their many cultural revolutions, when they used to have culture. Cultural revolution means how to remove culture. How to revolutionize culture so it isn't that. Right? That's so there may have been a little bit more distinguishing roles, but much of the time it wasn't. It was like, generally men were into martial arts, but who was into it? It didn't matter. You'd have women samurais. It didn't matter as long as they were samurai. If they weren't, they weren't. It didn't matter. The woman could be the empress. It didn't matter as long as she was good. If not, then she'd get killed in the politics.
It would seem like Indian society, there's definite distinctions. I mean, there's a
difference. Yes, because there's what works more. Because the point is for the woman empress, she'll have more anxiety than a man emperor. Like, have you ever heard of an emperor that there was some, rival, and when they actually got on top, they were number two, and when they got on number one, when they caught the person, cut off their arms and legs and stuck them in the jar. You ever heard of the emperor? And then when they sit there and yell and scream so much because they're so much in the mode of passion, you know, the person in the jar, then they come and cut out the tongue. But they keep them in the jar just so they know they can gloat that they finally got the person. You ever heard of the man? No, the Chinese emperors. So there's still women. So that means that anxiety and that is still there. It burns them. So it will be increased because of that position. Already it's bad enough in whatever the natural position, let alone the increasing. So it's not that they can't do it, but it grates against their nature, so they actually suffer. You know what I'm saying? So that's why in the Vedas it won't be done. But it's not that it doesn't have. The king manages the kingdom, the wife manages, the queen manages the palace. You know, I mean, you know what it is like to take care of your own house. Increase that by 10,000. Plus add in so many thousands of servants. Plus add in a budget that's in the millions of billions of dollars. You know, the king hosts so many other royal princes along with each of their servants. When Gayatri Devi said they had 500 house servants, it's just, I think, three or four of them. Right? 500 servants in man's house. When they would travel, they would have their own bogies. They would take two bogies. One bogie was for the three of them. The other bogie was for, I think, 120 servants that they took with them. They always traveled on the house. Right? So now, and they're going to visit another royal family. Now, that's one. Now you have a marriage. How many come? And they all come like that. So you have 1,000, you know, royalty come. You're talking about tens or twenties or thirties or forties of thousands of servants that come with them. Who's managing that? Who? The social, big social function the king will do, but the prasad that they're going to serve to 20,000 people, that's the queen's business. That's household business. Now that's not management. You bring me the CEO of any company that's a woman who can do that. And if there's a point where they don't, then the men, big service and all that, the men will do it. If it's too out of hand and they have to bring in men, then the men will do it. So wherever's the line where it's uncomfortable for women to do it, that's what the man does. Where it's not, the woman does it. So it's all based on what is inherent nature. So it's based on rasa. But if the men don't know it's woman, they won't be sensitive to where the line is. The women don't know it's woman, they won't know what the line is. So that's why the modern people is suffering. They suffer like that. You have to work very hard to convince me that the modern, you know, household is not happy people. You really have to work very hard to convince me. I mean, I go to their house, they invite me to their house, I eat. Like that. The association is nice, but you can't tell me the food's good. Some places it is. It's the rare place you go, they know how to cook. You go to, you know, traditional Indian families, each one is a better cook than the other. But you go to Western houses, it's rare you find someone in their home. Especially if they're health fanatics. Then whatever little bit was there, you know, in the way of some salt or some butter, which all they got, then that's removed, and it's like, you know, what's the use? You know, steamed butter. Mmm, delicious. You know, it's like, So it's like, they don't know. It just doesn't happen. Health food doesn't taste good because the concept of it is great. You're eating it and thinking how good it is for your health. That's what tastes good about health food. You know, the food itself doesn't necessarily taste good. There's one or two health things that aren't tasty. But most aren't. Right? It's not the lettuce, it's not that, it's what they put on the lettuce that makes it tasty. So therefore, and then so what are the kids and the men? So therefore video games and they're out with their friends and you know, in the house, how much? Because the house, the mother is not preparing snacks. Right? It's not like a Gujarati house where every 45 minutes and new snacks growing out of the kitchen. So therefore, since they don't know how to cook, where do the kids get things to eat? Outside. You go to the ice cream parlors, to the fast food places and all that. So it's really a trip to be at your house and go out, come back, and then go out again after the happen. So therefore, you just stay out. Or you just go hopping from one to the next. You go out to the cinema, then you get something to eat, then you go out to another fast food, then you go down to this, and then you go to that. And then the mother wonders why they're not at the house, because there's nothing to eat. That's why they're not at the house. Yeah, manage means out in the front manage. Everything. Like you manage to comb your hair, you manage to get the toothpaste under your toothbrush, you get the cat clothes. But managing means like in a position, social position, a managerial position. But otherwise, women manage when it's in their field. Because out of that field, they go nuts. It's just like this. The woman's in the house, she's cooking. The baby's crying, the phone's ringing, the doorbell is ringing. Does she freak out? No. She goes out, picks up the baby, picks up the phone, you know, this is that, goes out to the door with all that happening at once and a big smile on her face. Can a man do that? No. You know, in fact, the phone goes through the window, the this, the that. They can't handle that. But you put them out in the office where, you know, they're out in the street, they're striking out there, the people that are there are freaking out, you know, the IRS just showed up at the door. And they just go, okay, we deal with this. That's where the women are. Women can do it. They can be the CEO, but for how long? You don't see 60-year-old women as CEOs. They do it in their late 20s, early 30s, maybe into their 40s, and then 50, they find someone who they can take shelter of and retire. You know? That's the point. They'll marry a guy who's more powerful than them. They'll finally figure out what they're looking for. You know? And that, they'll marry a guy who's powerful. They'll know what to look for, what is power. It's not the little, what was that guy? Something Michaels used and stuff like that. James Michaels. Who was that guy? The VHS. All the men love that stupid beard. You know, that they think is very, yeah, that they think is very masculine, the George Michaels, or, you know, gay, you know, and so, and all the women think it's stupid, but, you know, they think it's, you know, whatever. So, the women figure out exactly what they're looking for, and then they target that man, you know, and then they're satisfied. So, you know, that they can say they've done it, right? Your theme in all the movies. The lady's not just the wall. She's someone, she's qualified. She is the vice chair. She's about to become the president. She is the mayor of the town. She is the head of the research. She is the that. She is, she's made it. But she always ends up at the end of the movie surrendering to a guy who's just that much more qualified that she can be. Always. Every movie ends that way. Because that's the way it is. But they want to prove that, no, we're not just wallflowers. We can do it, but we can do it, but we can do it. It's okay. It's been done. So the Vedic is, why go through and waste 23 years of your life? You could have been home with your kids. You could have had a nice family life instead of wasting it out there, instead of starting it all with your family. You know, hoping that your kids are going to come around and visit you. That's the whole thing, is that devotees are looking for this. So it's not a matter we have to come down to Varanasi. It's a matter devotees have already come down anyway. Now it's just a matter they want to make it scientific and get something out of it, or they want to go on floundering and, you know, they'll be just as dissatisfied in their present family condition as they were as temple devotees, where seemingly there was no family. You know what I'm saying? They were living in the Brahmacharya ashram, the wife of the Brahmacharya in the ashram, and met 1 hour a day. They probably got more out of that one hour they did talk to each other than the couple who lives at home, and they may not even get an hour because she's got to go out to the spa and he's got to, you know, meet with some business thing, and they bump into each other now and again. That was probably 1 hour of quality time, you know? But the grahasthas, so supposedly they got 24-7, but there's no 24-7. That's the illusion, that in grihastha life is 24-7, you know, social interaction. No. Without duties, where does the 24-7 come from? The wife knows that she's taking care of the house and the kids and all that for the husband. The husband knows he's out of the office all day, you know, getting money for the wife. That makes it that then there's that emotional. And the husband is happy. I remember when somebody was talking to very well, I think it was Hindu. They're older, you know, 50s right now. Some of them are sixties. But this was about 10 years ago, they would have been in the 50s, you know, still young enough. And, you know, they're Sindhis, you know, so the Sindhis is not, you know, typical. The older they get, kind of the more they expand, right? So, and his wife is no different, right? So, somebody mentioned, he says, you know, basically speaking, you're one of the wealthiest men in the world. And, you know, you're not old, you know, you're not gone. So, has the thought ever come up, because a lot of people do it, that, you know, while you're with, you know, the woman you're with, you could go out and there's, you know, you probably millions of younger girls would be very happy to, you know, spend time with them while you're with your wife and not doing those things, because so many other people are. And the guy saying, no, because other people do this. You know, my wife has raised my children, taking care of them. So that's what the relationship is. It's not because she was beautiful and youthful and sense gratification. It's because of the duties that she's performed that please him. That gratefulness, how could she ever give that up? How could he ever give that up? That and the other thing is to say, he said, you know, I had many gentlemen say, there's nothing left in household or life. There's no taste. But my wife's such a good cook, you can't go, because he knows anywhere else you go, you won't get the food. Because even though other women are as good at cooks, but the wife knows exactly what you want, how you want the dal, how you want this, what menus, what variety. This is the key.
He was
going to
personal level, because I keep about the stress thinking, so I'm going in, he's my wife, you know, duties, as with that whole struggling, you know, he's going to come here for a month.
If it works out for you, the point is it depends on the values of the family. That's what I'm saying. If the values of the family are knowledge in the Brahminical circle, then knowledge and all that, and so therefore that might be seen. As long as it's a bleed and you're sure that he's not just saying that just to please you. Yeah, so then you don't have to worry. But you should not take it for granted that when you do have opportunity, you should make sure that you know that, you know, he's suffering with, you know, the microwave dinners. So therefore, that you should see that he's taking care of you. You know what I'm saying? The reciprocating. That because the point is household life is there for a purpose. You got into it for a purpose. And he got into the purpose. So you have to see is that what was your purpose is and what his purpose is. And so depending on the values, then it's there. Europeans can do it much more. I would say the Anglo-Saxons are the ones who have a real tough time. They're actually the ones that suffer the most. Okay. All the others have less trouble. Somehow or other, the modern social, you know, ineptitude is basically the birthright of slaves. those who are closer to Europe or connected with Europe have a little less problem than those who unconnect themselves with Europe. That's a negative. So, therefore, the Americans have the most problems. And they have the most social difficulties because they have no idea. Absolutely don't know. So they try to create this. But I've seen the Europeans, not that the Europeans, there's no problem. I mean, somebody has to be at home with the kids or this or that, you know, kids have grown up with, and, but, you know, they have these big festivals that devotees go to, you know, so then one time the wife goes, one time the husband goes, depending on who can get the break and this and that and what's happening. You know, let's say exams are coming up and the husband generally deals with exams, so he stays back. So the wife goes, or something, she deals with exams, so he goes, or there's something else. It's very fluid. But somehow or another, the Anglo-Saxon thing is just that unless you do it in this seemingly masculine way, then there's no taste, because there's no taste in it at all. But somehow or another, because the taste that men get out of doing something is the control of it. Women somehow or another think they're going to do masculine things and get feminine taste out of it. That's why you can't do it. It doesn't work. You know, because the taste a man gets out of doing something is simply the element of the control. He doesn't get it. It's different. I mean, so it's just like the man may do some service to the woman. The woman actually enjoys the service. The man enjoys that he's being served. The service he may or may not notice. Unless he specifically is refined in that area, he can appreciate it. That the wife is serving him food, that she could serve him a steamed shoe, and he wouldn't notice the difference. Unless he knows the culinary science, he could feed him anything, he wouldn't know. But just that she's done it for him and is serving him, that's what makes him happy. But the woman, it's the taste of it and the interaction with it and all that. It's completely different feel. So this thing is saying they're one, these are said by people who have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. So that's what Prabhupada said, they can't be in a man because they really don't know unless they have that support. It means it shouldn't be done, but if it's done, it has to be very much backup. You have to know what is the science, you have to be always judging. A man, it can run, and then now and again you look at the woman, you have to be constantly looking at it. Because it only takes a moment to throw a woman off. A man, it kind of goes like this. But a woman, it's basically, it's like you put dots and it moves from one to the next and the next. And all it takes is a word or something. Something's going very nice, they're in ecstasy like this, and then they do something hurts their finger. Then the pain overshadows all the happiness that was there. It resets the whole experience back to zero. So unless somebody is there to really take it and bring it back up to there, it's going to start, and then from whatever else it was, it'll go off somewhere else. The women, it's just normal. The man is going, what just happened? Right? You're having a nice conversation, laughing, joking, and all that. Somebody goes off to the bathroom. The man goes off to the bathroom. He expects to come back and laugh, joke, and continue. The woman is like, that's over. Now, because you can't be bored while they go to the bathroom, you start to do something else. And then when they come back, you're getting a taste from that. You want to continue that. You think, what are you doing there? You understand? So it's a completely different concept of how it functions. That's what Prabhupada says. Men will never understand women. Women will never understand. They're two different beings. Something like this. Does that make sense? You can get an idea enough to make it work. You can never understand. It's there. It means as long as it's there, but it still has to be managed as a woman. You know what I'm saying? It means you still have to use the feminine interactions and all that dealing. You can't use the masculine. Just because the woman's in charge, now she doesn't become the very nasty person. You know, there's a name for that. It's within biology, they categorize it in the canine. Right? so nobody appreciates it. Huh? All her aggression, what she expects back. A man can do something just because he's supposed to. And just because he's done it, that's good enough. Or if he's got a little bit more need, that someone recognize it, that's enough. You know, and then if he's more materialistic, then there has to be some, you know, ongoing response. A woman doesn't do anything unless it's going to get a result. You don't smile at somebody unless you think I'm going to get something back from it. Therefore, it's like the man, you know, brings his friends over and this and that. The woman, you know, has to deal like that, but it gets very painful because she doesn't see what she's going to get back out of it unless it's obvious. Therefore, it breaks down. So she's going to do stuff and manage stuff, and she's going to expect all the people to respond and all that. And they don't want somebody on top of them that's doing the same thing they're doing. You know, so it's not a great thing. So it can be, you have to be very, very careful how it's done. It can be, but then there has to be. You can do it only if there's common values, and only if that woman has a male support somewhere. Krishna, Guru, you know, other male members of this community they can fall back on, husband, son, father, somebody has to be there. Because otherwise, it's too volatile, the feminine psyche, to be stable enough to make things run consistently. Because that's the point. The man's freaking out, but he does the work. Woman, the moment she starts to freak, generally the work stops. Unless it's small and in connection with relationship. Okay, the woman's freaking, it's really bad because the child's hungry. She feeds the child, not in the greatest way, not with the greatest attention. But she does it only because she attaches to the child. But if it's something that has nothing to do with attachment, or it's not going to get her a specific material benefit, the moment that that anxiety and that comes up, that becomes prominent, everything else takes second place. She doesn't do that. If by not doing that job she's going to lose security or facility, then only she'll do it. But if it's not a matter of that, she won't. So if it's the position in the company is very important, or payroll or something else, then maybe it'll keep you pushing on. All these principles are all there, and then you just drop it down a few steps. It's not as intense. So therefore, it moves like this on the side way, while the women are shooting that. You know, so there are those points where this went up here and that, the man only went that. So at this point, it crosses again. You know, and then the woman goes down like that, but the man only goes like that. Because of those moments, and they're going in the same direction. Therefore, you can say it's a common experience. The man goes to the restaurant, you know, the food was nice, and, you know, it was basically a hassle-free environment. So he was comfortable, right? That's what he noticed. The woman is the decor, the this, the that, and all these things were together. The man on his own doesn't notice it. He may notice it, one is if he's a connoisseur, then only on that, that's his science. Or he knows that this is what women like, so he'll see that he gets a place like that, takes the woman that he knows will appreciate it, and then cashes in on her happy experience. But otherwise, for him, it doesn't matter. As long as it's edible, that's good. You know, for a woman, it's the experience. She can, or just she just has to be have her pulse on the point of freak out. And she has to understand that when she freaks out at home, okay, the people there tolerate it because of their attachment and what she does for them. But if she's in a managerial position, the people around her just think she's a nasty woman. That's all. They're under no obligation. The problem is the woman will think they're under as much obligation as the family members are. But there it's based on biological attachment, while the other one is just in the position. But because they're a woman, generally they'll deal a little more carefully, except the other women. So you might find the men aren't saying anything, and the woman is thinking, the men aren't saying anything, why are the women all complaining? But that's only because the men are, because she's a woman, therefore there's some consideration. They're not accepting her as a man.
Do you think she's very deeply steeped in Krishna, except that there's less chance of picking up?
Can be, but you have to, it depends on the individual. It depends on where you lose in the charge and what your abilities are and all these things. If you can do it, great, but you have to be very sensitive about sharing your distresses with everyone else, because they're in that job to do a job, especially if it's men. They're not there to listen to your head fall apart 10,000 pieces. That's not what they pay for, and they're not about to do it. They have to do it, it's the only way to have a job, but they'll do it for a short time and they'll find another job. So you're finding the women are complaining, men are pleasant, but they're kind of like going and getting jobs otherwise. That means you're doing a bad job. It's not so bad that they're just going to come up and blow away, but it's bad enough that they just can't handle it. But if everybody's happy, it's working, it's dynamic, great, as long as it works. But it's as a devotee, simply is you have the Krishna consciousness to create stability. But still, you have to deal with feminine nature, because if Krishna consciousness will bring you more to a Brahminical standard, but still, Brahmin women still freak even in this moment. You know, someone said something that other women may for 3 days be upset. Brahmin woman maybe for a moment that flares up and says this and that and then gets onto it, and within a few minutes she's got it back together. Still, when that flares, yeah, a lot of damage. Other women, what are they? They already got their own problem. Just because you're the boss, you've got to hear your boss. Well, they have a relationship with you, but personal, then they'll do it. Then, if you have that kind of a thing, then the women are happy. It's part of that. They love to discuss these things, so they're happy to discuss it with you. But the men, absolutely, that's not where they need it. They'll tolerate it with their own women, and they tolerate it with the boss. It's like they're not being paid. You want them to do that, you pay them extra. Then they can do it. And even then, they'll only do it for a short time. Men can't handle it. It's just not the feel. Emotional freak out is not what they know. Men can function with very minimal emotion. What is there has to be so quality. They don't know it, so they don't even know what it is. So they don't feel it. Women's field is emotion. So therefore, it has to be full. It doesn't have to be good or bad. It just has to be full. Better a bad experience than no experience, right? But for a man, he'd rather have no experience than a bad experience. On the emotional part. That's why men fix it up. So it can be done, but you always have to watch. You always have to be sensitive. What is it people will talk about? Very hard, because consistency is maintained by attachment. So that means that they have to be attached to the position, or attached to the devotees in the position, or what they're working with, or results that come from that. But because of that element to it, it does put a cloud on it. So they're attached to the position means that someone else more qualified than more supportive. It's attached to the facility, that's not good enough, because when the facility's there, the tendency is not to do the job good. Or if it's attachment to the people, then you start dealing with them as if they are family members, but then that means the positive is nice, but the negative is not. You know, then you got to share the bad day. Your family has to. Other people don't. That's why women expand through generally family or more people. Right? Man can have a friend here, and a friend over there, and a friend there, and there's no connection between them. A woman, they have this friend, and that's connected to this one, and then they may have someone with time to get to know, and then expands to that one, and then they have a daughter, you get to know her, and then her husband is then, so it expands, you know, through relationships. For a man, it's not like that. It's a different system. So what they'll do is then they'll expect, and then they'll expect the same kind of loyalty as a family member. And there, and especially with men, it's just a job. Okay, you're the president now, and you say we go out on Harinam at 9 o'clock. So okay, gosh, we do it. But then when someone else comes along who may seem to be a better manager and all that, and you're kind of like tired of, you know, having to sit around and listen to when she's got a bad day. And then they come along and there's some discussion of who should be the president, should it be this lady or this person. And then they choose this person, and this lady will figure let down as if her own family member was not loyal. Right? Which is unnecessary. The woman's going to suffer, and the men are going to come. So they can't understand. The woman's, you don't understand, and I thought here, and then she becomes bitter, and oh, it's gone. It's just that you projected what should have been in the house to what's outside the house, and then it just went back to your suffering. Yeah, if they knew their own nature, then they would know this is going to come up. You're ready for it. Just like women can abuse, that's okay. If they're advanced and all that, fine. But they have to be able to live with the point of having disciples that walk out on them, or even speak against them. It happens to the men, then they're okay, I have to be more careful, I have to raise the standards. Someone's taken for granted, that's when the relationship breaks down. So the Vedic thing is how to keep the relationship fresh as it can be. You know, it won't keep it fresh forever. You can keep a marriage working for 20, 30, 40 years. But at some time, it just becomes okay. That's enough. You know? Unless the attachment's so great, then okay, it goes, but it goes, the women are unsatisfied, and the man, is has to lead a very demeaning life. So, you know, it works. But where it's dynamic and both parties are respected, it has a short lifespan, 20, 30 years. Because beyond that, the women don't really respect the man. He's only, the woman has to take care of the man. He's not divided. So relationship, past that, attachments, you know the person, you know, they've done things for you, you kind of owe, but it drops. So that respect, that dynamic respect is lost. That's why in the Vedic culture, they retire, become vanaprastha. So then if the woman wants to follow the man into that environment, yes. Shudra stays at home and lives with the wife all day at the end of life, you know. Yeah. It's perfectly made. It's perfectly made. But you know the science and you know devotion and how to connect it. It's very dynamic. If you only know the science and not devotion, or devotion not the science, then socially be a problem. But even if you have a terrible social life, still you can go back to God. If you have a fabulous social life but no devotion, then you don't go back to God. Problem, the weak point is you don't have a good social life as a devotee, there's the chance that you're going to remain attached to it. Right? Otherwise, why do you see so many devotees getting married for the second, third time in their late 40s, 50s? They haven't tasted what they're looking for. It's not there, of course, but their idea of what they should, what situation should arise that they label that this will make me happy hasn't happened. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
It hasn't happened. How do you attach?
I mean, if one's philosophical enough and that analyze enough, then one can do it from there. Or in a very minimal way, one can get it just by being, you know, being closer on the edges, you know. You know, okay, you know, the marriage didn't work, guy's leaving alone, the woman's leaving alone, but he still keeps himself in a kind of a grihastha environment, you know, with other family, other, you know, friends and relatives. He moves more in that. He has more of that, rather than just only in the temple, you know, and only with the other brahmacharis and sannyasis, a minimal of that. He has more of that, so he stays outside, he continues his job, he moves more in that social scene. It's there, but it's close enough where he gets that little bit of taste, but also at the same time, it's close enough he can see it's not really worth it. You know? It's not an ideal situation. For him, the actual solid place would be vanaprastha. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, early retirement. But But otherwise, if that need is so much stronger and they haven't tasted it, like before they were kind of tasting it, but satisfaction's not there. I probably mentioned this, the satisfaction isn't there. You're tasting it, but there's no satisfaction. Like that. That's why you have to be satisfied with what you have, because you won't be happy. You can be satisfied with what you have, and that satisfaction can create basically a sense of well-being. It's just like if you're always eating chocolate or something, that feeling is what you can get. You know what I'm saying? So that you can do, but you can't be satisfied because you're happy. You can be happy because you're satisfied. Right? They're two different things. Because happiness means fulfilling a material desire, which is more than passion. So when you fulfill it, you're happy. But then the next moment, it's already fulfilled. So happiness is over. Because happiness is gaining it, not having it. Attachment then is the next thing. You've gained it, then you become attached to it. So that you have it, then you supposedly, but you're not getting anything. You know, it's just like how many things are in your closet and attic and basement and garage that you never use, never will use, and even you've completely forgot about it. But when you go to clean up, can you throw them away? No, very difficult. Because as the attachment, because now you know, oh, I have it, just in case, in the rarest opportunity of, you know, if during the rare time when, you know, some relative gets married and, you know, we're in this, you know, particular place in the bathroom and somehow or another the light goes off just at that 1 second before this, then we could, you know, but it's never used. So it's nice knowing that all options are covered, you know, but at the same time, it's what are you doing? No, please start. No. In other words, study problems, we'll try to figure out why is he saying, what's behind it, what's actually happening. Just like probably gives an example of his mother. She would never go out of the house except in a carriage. Like that. So then they go to the neighbors. She'd get in the carriage, but without the horses, they pull it out and then put it in the next door driveway. The men would come from next door. Six men would come out, pull it out, put it in. So who's superior? They'll say, oh, women are inferior, they have to stay in the house, they have to this, they can't go out. She's just turned six respectable gentlemen into horses because she's a woman. That's power. But it's not understood. Because women are stupid. They can't understand how actually they're the power. They're more powerful than men who are attached. Women are more powerful than attached men. They're not as powerful as unattached men. But they're more powerful. Their bureaucrat is more powerful than Caesar. He controls the world, she controls them. So who's more powerful? That's the point. So that's why it has to be controlled. If it's not controlled, something with more power has to be controlled more. And if it's controlled, the experience is greater. Right? That makes sense. So that's the point. Women is fire, man is butter. Therefore, the fire has to be controlled. Otherwise, it'll burn down everything. Butter, it'll just sit there. Maybe make a bit of a mess. But it won't burn everyone down. It won't destroy them. So that's the thing. Women are more powerful. They're not controlled.